Welcome to episode 231 of the 1010 Thrive podcast, brought to you by 1010 Thrive Ministries. I'm Peter Anderson. 1010 Thrive, 10 minutes a day based on 10 guidelines for abundant living. Today we turn to the book of 1 Corinthians, the 36th book in our series, 50 books of the Bible in 50 weeks. Corinth, occupied since before 3000 BC, is located on the narrow strip of land that connects the mainland of Greece to the Peloponnese Peninsula between the Aegean and Ionian Seas. It is strategically located such that it allowed the Corinthians to become masters at trade. Important both militarily and commercially, it became one of the largest and most powerful city-states in ancient Greece. After it was conquered and destroyed by the Roman consul Lucius Mummius, it remained in ruins for more than a century. Shortly before his assassination, Julius Caesar reestablished it as a colony. Rome rebuilt the city in Roman fashion and settled it mostly with freedmen who grew prosperous within two generations. It had an amphitheater, a circus, and other characteristic buildings and monuments. After the Roman conquest, the official language became Latin, and it became the capital of the Roman province, Achaia. It had a large mixed population of Romans, Greeks, and Jews. A prominent feature of Corinth was the city's temple devoted to the worship of Aphrodite. As such, the city attracted many whose primary purpose was to enjoy illicit pleasure. The name of the city gave birth to several words in the Greek language, which were used to express a life of luxury and licentious living. Acts 12 tells of the Apostle Paul's ministry in Corinth during what is described in the Bible as his second missionary journey. Paul came to Corinth from Athens, which was about 45 miles away. In Corinth, he met the couple Priscilla and Aquila and worked with them in the tent-making trade. Paul used the income he earned to preach the gospel without relying upon support from others. Paul preached in the synagogue every Sabbath. When the Jews showed general indifference or outright disdain toward this preaching, Paul decided to take the message to the Gentiles. His ministry resulted in the salvation of both Jews and Gentiles, so the church in Corinth was made up of both. Paul ministered in Corinth for about a year and a half. During Paul's time in Corinth, opposition against him began to grow. The unbelieving Jews in the city brought charges against the apostle. However, the Roman proconsul refused to get involved in a Jewish religious dispute. Paul stayed a bit longer, but eventually moved on to Ephesus. Paul remained in contact with the Corinthian church through letters and personal emissaries, sending them warnings and instruction. The books of 1 and 2 Corinthians are just two of the letters that he sent to them to address issues and concerns. Romans 15 verse 4, "For whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction, that through endurance and through the encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope." Paul's epistles to the Corinthians were sent to them to provide encouragement, to offer hope. These epistles make up his largest body of work directed to an individual congregation. The letters address problem areas that are still often problems in churches today. The word epistle comes from the Greek word apistole, that means a letter or message. Epistles were a primary form of written communication in the ancient world, especially during New Testament times. Since many of the New Testament books were originally written as letters to churches or individuals, they are referred to as the epistles. An epistle would have been written on a scroll. Often it was dictated and then reviewed by the author before being delivered by a trusted messenger. For example, 1 Peter mentions that Peter's letter was written down by Silvanus or Silas. Timothy was involved in the writing and delivery of several of the Apostle Paul's letters, although Paul signed each one to verify that he was the author. Epistles also generally followed a familiar format. Most of Paul's letters began with an introduction that identified his name and those of any associates, mentioned his audience, and gave a greeting. The introduction was followed by the main body of the letter, and the epistles often concluded with a general blessing and personal notes to individuals within the recipient church. Paul begins his letter to the church at Corinth with the usual pleasantries, such as this in verses 4 to 5. I give thanks to my God always for you because of the grace that was given you in Christ Jesus, that in every way you were enriched in him in all speech and all knowledge. But by verse 10, he begins to address one of his concerns. The church at Corinth has divided loyalty to different leaders. Paul rejects this disunity, telling the church members to focus on Christ. The individual leaders should only point them to Christ. There was gross immorality in the Corinthian church, and it was being tolerated. Paul tells the church they must exercise church discipline. Also, believers were taking each other to court, and Paul says they should handle disagreements among themselves. There was some confusion about whether it was better to be married or single, or how married people should relate to each other. Paul clarifies those issues for them and for the church today. Because of the mixed background of the church in Corinth, food was an area of conflict and concern. Jews had strict dietary laws, while Gentiles did not. How could they maintain table fellowship? Also, meat sold in the marketplace may have been sacrificed to an idol before being sold. Could a Christian eat that meat? And how should a Christian respond to a fellow believer who held a different opinion? Paul says that the Christian is free to eat this meat if he's not actively participating in idol worship. However, if one Christian's freedom causes spiritual harm to another believer by enticing him to do something against his conscience, Paul says the Christian should voluntarily curtail his freedom for the sake of his fellow Christian. Other topics addressed in this epistle include the involvement of women in worship services, problems the Corinthians were having in their gatherings, questions about the future resurrection, and how to support church ministry. Paul deals with many of the same topics in 2 Corinthians. The New Testament does not give us much more information about the church at Corinth. However, after the apostles Paul and Peter are martyred at Rome, Clement becomes a leader there. And in his position as an apostolic bishop, he also writes to this church. His epistle is sent probably near the end of the first century, almost 50 years after Paul's time ministering there. And he has to deal with some of the same issues again. Over the years, the city of Corinth began to decline in size and influence. There is evidence of a continuing Christian presence in Corinth for centuries, but how biblical it was at any point in time is difficult to ascertain. In 1858, the ancient city of Corinth was completely destroyed by an earthquake. A new city was rebuilt. Today, the city of Corinth is officially under the Church of Greece, part of the Greek Orthodox Church. There is a small evangelical presence in Greece today, but it is often oppressed. In spite of all the problems the church at Corinth had, Paul refers to them as those sanctified in Christ Jesus and called to be his holy people. It would be easy to read 1 and 2 Corinthians smugly, given the multitude of their problems. Yet the same problems present in Corinth are found in the church today. Father, the church in the 21st century still needs 1 and 2 Corinthians to know how to deal with today's issues. Help us to heed the admonitions and guidance contained within these books. That's our episode. Remember that God calls you not only to live, but to thrive. Live life to the full today.